You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here. Hour number three coming to 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS, and of course the Civic Media app along with 1590 AM and 1100 AM. And today's Milwaukee Brewers home opener will be on WISS at 12:35 against the Kansas City Royals. We've had Brittany Merlot on today talking about crazy things going on with the weather. Madeline Van Grohl, UW Green Bay's Giving Day, which is really cool. Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation, who we never have enough time for because she can fill 2 hours so fast. It's incredible, and actually already looking forward to next week. But actually, right now, we've got Christine Schutze and Drew Diehart, NEW Zoological Society, and Drew, curator of animals and all things that might escape and try to take down a convenience store, all those kind of things.
Did you lose a couple otters out there?
Which was the biggest story in the country for a couple of days.
Seem like
Drew,
yeah.
Like it got, I was reading, it got so many hits on some kind of a thing, it like overblew the system or something.
Drew, when you were, I don't know if you were even on the planet then, when I, in 2003, four, remember when Jasper the monkey got out?
I do. I remember that.
Okay. No.
Right, Johnny?
Me and Vinny were doing our show, and somebody brought us in a stuffed monkey we hung in our thing. Yeah. They found Jasper. I'll never forget that.
Did they? I remember.
No, it was the thing that we were doing, a thing that we had him hanging behind our studio.
They came in with the TV cameras. Jasper the monkey
Well, I'm glad you clarified that it was a stuffed monkey.
No, he had the real one. No. Me and Vinny had the stuffed one. We used to take it to all
of our things. A real one escaped from our zoo?
Yeah.
A lady's house.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, okay. Okay, because I was going to say, I have not heard of any of our monkeys escaping.
No,
it should have been in Drew's zoo, but it wasn't. It was in some lady's house.
It was right downtown here.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Like right around blocks from here.
Yeah. But I'll Google that.
It was like
we even took our Jasper to a Brewers bus trip one time. Yeah.
It was an APB on that thing, right?
No, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah, knowing you, that doesn't surprise me.
Me and Vinny back in the day.
Yeah.
That was the story, though. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, the otter story, and that's actually why I brought Drew this morning, being that, you know, the animals, he has a lot more information on the animals and how we're trying to get them back and if we think they'll even come back, because they are native to Wisconsin. So they're doing just fine out there, and our male otter is probably chasing some females because it's that time of the year.
Oh, he is getting it on!
Okay, I didn't say that, but yeah.
She's done on Broadway.
But it's—I
come from otter country in the UP.
It certainly did get national media attention. Attention we couldn't have paid for,
right?
If we tried.
Yes. Introduce your special guest.
Yeah. So this is Drew Diehart. He is our curator of animals. So he really is in charge of all the animals at the zoo. We have about, 350 different animals at the zoo right now of 140-ish species?
About that,
I think. Changes a little bit by the day. That's everything from cockroaches to our big male lion, Lloyd. So,
cockroaches?
Cockroaches.
As zoo things? Mm-hmm. Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
You got to teach species. Things about the little, you know, teach kids about the little to the big.
I got
to
be, that's the one thing that freaks me out are cockroaches with those little antennae. Or whatever.
Well, these are probably about 2 inches long, so they're not as freaky. They're kind of cool.
Todd, what kind did you guys have in Louisiana or Mississippi?
Tons of them, and they were huge, and they were crawling over everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Todd lived in a zoo. The coolest thing, though, I mean, the giraffe, right? But the coolest thing is those turtles, right? Aren't they like 150 years old or something?
Yeah, well, they're older. We're not exactly sure how old they are, but...
The Galapagos tortoises.
Right. Remember Red Lewis? He donated that thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was awesome. I think those things, I think they're 125 when they donated them. Well, maybe they just said that for media. But anyway, it was they're old.
We don't make things up.
Okay.
We don't either.
Don't believe you.
What's your line, Johnny?
A lot of the stuff I make up is true.
Anyway, hey, what are you working on? I mean, you have to raise money, even though it's a county facility, and the county is a
So the zoo is a county department,
right?
But
are you the new Neil? Did he replace Neil?
No, Carmen Muirock replaced Neil.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. We have a new director.
Okay, all right.
She's been there a while now. And she actually was the curator, which is what Drew does now for like 30 years, just a really long time.
Okay.
But the Zoological Society, we raise the money because the zoo cannot survive alone on the money that it raises from admissions and programs. So it's a county department, but the county doesn't give it any money. So the county calls it an enterprise account. You might be, I don't know if the city ever had those when you were in charge of the city, but it's an enterprise account. So everything it spends, it has to make. And if it goes over budget, the county doesn't say, oh, you went over budget. Here's the money. You have to figure out how to pay for it. So the Zoological Society was formed not long after the zoo became a zoo, because it was started out as a reforestation camp.
Right,
and it started out as, the Barth family, and there were basically prisoners out there planting trees, and they had a couple of animals in some cages, and those were our humble beginnings. But once the zoo realized, or the county said, we're not supporting you anymore, you're on your own, a group got together way back when. Ernie Airbar was involved, Judy Krawcheck has been involved over the years, so some names that are familiar, and created... It was the Friends, it was the Boosters, it was the Friends, and now it's the New Zoological Society. So we do the fundraising. There's just myself. I'm the only employee, and I report to a board. But anytime the zoo wants a new building to house a new animal, a new species, we do the fundraising, and we build new buildings. So the last buildings we built were the giraffe edition and a new snow leopard building. So we were able to get a third giraffe, and we were able to get a second snow leopard. If you haven't seen those buildings, please come out and see them. They're gorgeous. We are working on a new red panda building that we hope to start constructing. And then we are in the beginning stages of a campaign that this will be the first I've talked publicly about it, but it's called Renew the Zoo.
Okay.
So we are going to do a fundraising campaign, and we are going to renew parts of the zoo that kind of need some love. Haven't had anything done to them in many years, and they're looking tired. So we are going to do that, as well as within that, be able to have more penguins and maybe bring in a female lion for Lloyd to have a new mate. So got lots of things going on.
How do you get these things, and what's the process? It's like, we need a new tiger. What's the process on something like that?
Yeah, so a new species, we work a lot with the Zoological Society, but a new addition, like a second lion, because we're part of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, we're an accredited facility. I work with other accredited facilities on who's going to be a good match for Lloyd and finding
good... It's a whole network, huh?
It is a very big and complicated network, yeah.
Lloyd's like he puts up
Lloyd.
The
look.
I like pizza. I enjoy.
Compatibility plays a big part of it. Yeah.
Snuggling. Listening to the Carpenters.
I heard you had a Carpenter song on.
Yeah, we did.
Rainy Days and Mondays.
I'm a big fan of the Carpenters.
Yes, okay. That's what we play. Hey, what? Tell me though, Chris. The red panda. What is that?
They're cute little red little miniature bears that look like teddy bears. What a red panda?
Wasn't that the big thing?
Really?
Wasn't Nixon the first one that brought the
panda?
No, that was a panda.
Are you kidding? Those are two in the United States.
That was a panda.
No, they don't have a panda. Are you kidding? If they had a panda, there'd be a lion pandas. From the zoo here.
Here, no, this is...
That's why I was asking,
oh,
John.
Oh, shoot. I just lost the picture.
The panda... No, there's not pandas.
There was a panda there?
That's a red panda.
No, there's never been a red panda there.
That behind that...
Oh, wow, that's cool.
They are
cool.
That's
really cool.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, what about the zip line? Is that still functioning?
It is. So that's the Adventure Park. So part
is that
of the
you?
Zoo.
Which is really cool.
It is really cool. And a lot of people still don't know about it. So it's obviously seasonal, but there's climbing walls, there's ropes courses, there's the zip line.
Well, the county put money into that, though.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. I just wanted to say that was a cool thing.
Okay.
I mean, I was part of that. I like zip lines.
I remember a time I did a story for, I think it was NBC 26 with Bill Schrader, the former Packer.
Yeah.
And he did a big thing with cancer kids. every summer, and he'd take them out to there. That was fantastic. The confidence builder and everything.
Right.
Confidence course.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
We do a one day where people that have some disabilities,
right?
They actually get this lift that can get them onto the zip line. We do a like firefighter police officer day, so you can zip with a fireman or a first responder or something. So they do a lot of really cool things out there.
Awesome. That's a very cool thing you have out there.
I get is it, do you guys have a reptile section out there?
Yeah, we have a building with a handful.
Yeah, you got rattlesnakes?
No rattlesnakes.
I'm an advocate for rattlesnakes. I love rattlesnakes.
Oh, yeah.
So can I do something to help get rattlesnakes up here?
I don't know. Okay. You know, venomous species take a little extra care and caution, so.
Because of the people who go to the zoo.
Well, no, but I mean, I just think that's fascinating to see a rattlesnake up close. Don't you?
Yeah, they're definitely a cool species.
Christine? No?
Yeah.
No. Okay, and you're the fundraiser, so if you don't go for it, it's not going to happen.
That's very true. Yeah. Very true. Okay. I'm pushing for a penguin expansion right now so we can have baby penguins.
Penguins are cool.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
And they put on like little shows.
They do. They're hilarious to watch.
They're fun to watch.
Yeah.
All right, that's a great exhibit. That's going to cost a few bucks, though, I bet. But you're okay with it. You seem like you...
As you know, Green Bay is a very generous community.
Do I?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of great donors at the zoo. There's a lot of people out there that would donate to the zoo if they were asked.
I've seen some of the names. You got some heavy hitters. I mean, you got people who really take this serious.
Who doesn't like a zoo? You know what I mean? I mean, really. And then you got the grandkids, right? You got the student
groups. And
that's
actually where a lot of our donors come from. They are now older, and they come to the zoo with their grandkids.
Right.
And they see the joy that it brings them.
Right.
And so... Once we get them out there.
I mean, when you go places, you go to the zoo, right? San Diego, Indianapolis, they all got great zoos.
What are the most popular species animals that you have out there?
You know, I think the red pandas are pretty high on that list. Yeah. People love the pandas. And, of course, our giraffe are just
Those aren't the ones from China, though. Those are just to be clear.
No, Nixon brought one back from China.
Jesse, look this up for me.
John, everybody knows
Jesse,
those are not...
be my research guy.
Everybody knows that. Don't even have to research
1972, he brought pandas back from China.
Everybody knows that.
Recently, we didn't have pandas in the U.S. The United States, they shipped them back, but now they just got a couple back again.
We opened negotiations.
We have an exchange program
with... But they don't mate, right?
No, we're putting a tariff on them.
What do you mean they don't mate? How do you think they get more?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
There's something.
Well, do you still have the Boo Zoo and all that?
We do.
That's a great event.
So that is our Halloween event.
Right.
It runs 3 weekends, usually either end of, depending on when Halloween falls, but mostly in October.
Okay.
We'll talk more about it, but there's something about that. I think they have to get the female kind of hammered before they'll...
Oh, goodness sakes. Christine.
Like that.
Oh, John.
It was
some kind of a weird thing.
Is she from Lugani?
They had to put them in a certain mood.
She's from the UP.
I know about this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Todd,
always
finger on the pulse, baby.
Always.
Finger on the pulse.
He is.
Yes.
This is great.
Yes.
Good song choice.
We're with Christine Schutze, New Zoological Society, and Drew Deinhardt, curator of animals. Which is a pretty cool job. You seem like a curator of animals.
Thank you.
What's your background? Tell us a little bit about that. How'd you get into this?
Yeah, I started at a zoo in high school and just kind of worked my way through. I've been here for a long time now.
Start volunteering and type stuff like that? That's awesome.
Exactly.
Keeper. He was a zookeeper for a long time before he was promoted to this position.
Phenomenal.
That's great. So, Christy, we were talking about people look at zoos as animals to look at, but there's a bigger picture than that.
Absolutely. So a lot of people still think of zoos as animals in cages. And yeah, that is how zoos started. But zoos nowadays, especially if you're an accredited zoo, which we are, we've been accredited by the Association of Zoos and Aquariums for 25 years.
Which is a big deal.
A huge deal. They come every 5 years and When I joined the society, I had no idea. They don't just look at the animals, the health of the animals, what you're feeding the animals, all of those things. But even like your padlocks, this still amazes me. Your padlocks can't have rust on them. Or, you know, there can't be paint chips on a fence. I mean, they come through with a fine-tooth comb, and you have to pass that two-day inspection to be reaccredited. So it is a huge deal. But they are our governing association also. So when we want, for instance, we can't just let animals have babies because it's all about the conservation of the species. So if we're trying to conserve that species, so if they went extinct in the wild, we want to make sure we have a healthy population to try to replace them. So we can't just let any two lions breed. They tell us that the two genetics of like the two you have, yes, you can let them breed, or no, those aren't genetics that are really suitable for preserving the species. So we are not going to give you a breed, what we call a breeding recommendation. So it's very complicated, but it's all about conservation now and teaching people how to conserve the animals in the wild.
And that does go along with what I was saying about the pandas, right? Kind of. Is that true? I don't make this stuff up. I really read this.
Oh,
that's
I
one
think
of the
you
things.
Do make
no,
this
no,
stuff
no, no,
up.
That's one of the things with pandas. It's really hard to get one in the mood.
He's talking about...
I am going to do my homework after this show, and I will get back to you on that.
Thank you. Drew, you're with me on this, right?
Drew.
Kind of? Sort of?
Drew, let me tell you.
A little bit. Just nod.
Drew, he comes from a pretty tight gene pool in Nagani.
Nagani, Michigan.
Wow. Hey, Drew, what do you think about with these animals? So they got like the snow leopards and things like that. They must love our winters, don't they?
Yeah, I think the snow leopards and back to red pandas again. They are made for this weather, and this is the best time to visit them at the zoo.
Really, they're the happiest, right?
They're out there in the snow. Yeah,
that's cool.
But you know what? The lions like the snow too.
I'll bet. Yeah.
And they're not cold weather animals.
Yeah, that's true. They're
you know what?
Jungles.
Most people don't realize is that our penguins are actually warm weather penguins. So if it's 40 degrees or below, our penguins stay inside because our penguins are native to South Africa.
Are these the ones from, like, Madagascar? No?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. That's right. No.
What?
Do you have a... Why aren't they...
Wildlife.
Yeah. Wildlife.
We're going to need to get you out to the zoo for some educational programs.
Penguins, okay. They're not even wildlife. So the penguins, I think people, they get bummed out when they go to the zoo and they're in their caves. Why don't you make those all glass?
Stay tuned.
Well, oh, cool. I would like that. I'll donate. Because kids want to go there and see stuff. I know in the morning.
She's writing it down already.
No, I just want to say, but in the morning it's better because they're more active in the morning, right? So you want to get there like at 9, right, when you open
up?
Yeah,
they do like to go swimming in the morning.
Right. Yeah. Like most of us. So, okay. Tell me, are you in the middle of a fundraiser now? I mean, this is great. You're on our show. We just love talking about great things in Brown County.
And I'm glad I'm here to help.
We are working behind the scenes right now. So we're just starting working behind the scenes, getting bids on things that we want to include in this Renew the Zoo campaign. We'll probably go public with it, with the amount that we're going to need and all the projects that we're going to try to do, maybe late summer, early fall. We're working with O'Connor Connective, and they're going to help us with some things. And so we're just in the very... the beginning stages of that, but penguins, stay tuned for some cool penguin things.
They're fun to watch.
I think that'd be, you don't have any right now, right? Penguins?
Yeah, we have 15.
Oh, you do? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. So you're getting even more then.
Okay. Well, no, they're gonna have them in an environment where they can show off and swim and jump down a little slide.
They can do that now, but only outside. So if you come in the winter, you can't see the penguins.
Got it. Okay.
Get them in a glass house or something.
Do they mate?
They lay eggs.
What?
Jesus. They're egg layers.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
I did not know that.
I just have one question, and this is sarcastic.
Where'd you go to school?
No. Which animal in the entire kingdom of animals on our planet have babies without some sort of mating situation?
There is one.
There's a couple.
Yes,
but...
The ocelots. I'm pretty sure ocelots.
I know.
And platypus, duckbill.
Duckbill, true. Platypus?
Yes.
They don't mate?
No.
No. Interesting.
Yeah. It's bizarre.
Is that...
I don't know that that's what's bizarre.
Right?
Just telling you, I read a lot.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't know there was.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that was possible.
Well, I guess they didn't teach you that at St. Norbert, did they, Jim?
They didn't.
Christine, tell us how we can help.
Yeah.
How can we can make all your wish list come true?
No, we got to. Yeah, bro, you got to come back here. This is
I'll come back anytime.
We love when nonprofits come in here to tell us about us, because not everybody, you'd be surprised.
We have so much to share. We could talk for hours.
Here, Appleton.
I'm just scratching the surface.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah, just.
Yeah.
He goes on vacation
once
in a while.
Well, right now, I guess we've got a couple events. We've started our extravaganza event, which is our Easter event at the zoo. You can buy tickets for that. That's Saturday, April 19th. That's a zoo event. Now, it doesn't matter to the public, doesn't really care, but there are events that are zoo events, zoo run and sponsored, and then there's others that are society events. So the two society events we do each year are Sip and Safari event, which is a wine event, wine walk around the zoo. That's in June. And then our big Feast with a Beast. So this is our 25th
really
year.
Really popular, aren't they?
No, yep, 25th year of Feast with a Beast, which is always the first Monday in August. So those will be coming up soon. You can register your kids for summer camps, both at the zoo, the adventure park. There's just so much going on.
It's website.
Awesome.
Give us contact info.
Website newzoo.org for the zoo. And the society actually has a different one, although you can link, and that's newzoosociety.org.
This is
outstanding.
Great.
Yeah, you guys are coming back. Christine, Drew, NEW Zoological Society, curator of Animals for Drew. Thanks so very much. You got my number, in case you have any questions. Just let me know. Wow. All right.
Got it.
We're going to start a quick break. Back after this.
Of my yesterday.
Ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a good-looking Monday morning. Over 30 degrees now. The sun is coming out. Special thanks to Christine and Drew from the New Zoological Society and the curator of animals. Glad I could help them with some insights. joining us right now, Chad Janowski, Executive Director of the STEM Innovation Center. This is something we talk a lot about, Chad, and we just say it's a really cool thing. It just is.
Absolutely is. Anytime we can get kids doing hands-on stuff with science and engineering, it's an amazing thing.
And what I think is cool about you, these kids are maybe discovering a talent they didn't know. You know, and they can get out there and start working with everything from your digital what's that called when you the digital programmers, and to making the different items, and they don't know. You see them do the stuff, and then you discover that I really like taking this thing apart or putting this thing together, and they can go on to really become a civil engineer.
Absolutely. We've got to give them the hands-on experiences in order for them to develop that interest. And that's one of the things that we try to accomplish with STEM Family Day, which we've got coming up on April 12th. Is to give them so many different hands-on opportunities, whether it's robotics or coding or programming, or just even launching rockets. They do stomp rockets and airplanes and all sorts of stuff. We got to give kids hands-on things to get excited about careers that they might not even know that they're interested in.
Well, and that's the thing, too. I mean, you know, science, at least when we grew up, I mean, you'd have your science class and you'd have your textbook and you'd have. And nowadays, have they taken that to a completely different spectrum?
Yeah, we figured out that we can't just talk at kids anymore. We've got to give them the hands-on learning opportunities to discover things on their own. And that's one of the things that the Einstein Project is trying to do, is to revolutionize the way that teachers approach teaching science, so that we're not just asking kids to memorize all sorts of facts. What we're trying to do is to get them to ask questions about things, let their curiosity drive their learning, and it takes them to all new places. The kids are more engaged by doing the hands-on stuff about things that interest them.
So I was watching, I was surprised. I watched our small little station up in the UP, and they were doing a thing about at Northern Michigan University with all these high school kids with the robotics. And it was, I mean, we're talking about some really little schools up there that might have 150 kids in the school, and they're in this big robotics thing, which was mind-boggling what they're creating with robotics through STEM. Isn't that something?
Well, even in, just beyond that is all the coding that they have to do to get those robots to do what they want right. them to do. It's crazy.
Wow. And these small little schools, that's what's so great.
And what's cool about this day is some of this equipment you don't have at home. I mean, they can't do this at home. So you get out there for, what, 4 or 5 hours? I don't know how long this...
Yeah, it runs from 10 till 2.
All right. And they get exposed to a lot of things that they don't have at home and they may or may not have at school.
Yeah, and the only way that we can do that is with all of our partnerships. We've got over 30 different organizations wow. that are involved. It started out with just the interest from the college. We actually had an intern working for the Einstein Project that was an engineering student at UWGB. She was part of the Rocketry Club, and she said, hey, the Rocketry Club really wants to do this hands-on opportunity for kids. How can we make this activity come to life? And we're like, hey, we've got some history in this. The Einstein Project had been running the expo out at Shopko Hall for more than 20 years. And so we brought our team and our mm-hmm. talent together to help them organize this day. In our first year, we had over 1,000 people attend.
Wow. What kind of jobs do these kids, can they look forward to if they're interested?
Well, and that's the crazy thing. There is STEM in just about every organization. Yeah. You look all around town here, and whether you're in a paper mill or you're in another manufacturing facility or you're working for the city or the county, they've got scientists and engineers that are helping them to clean up our water and protect our natural resources in the area, as well as running the big machines and everything inside of our manufacturing facilities.
Amazing head start on other kids nowadays, huh? And, I mean, as far as what you can learn.
What about age? You know, you talk about this being a family day.
It's for kids of all ages. We have activities for the young kids that are just doing some simple things. We've had backpack tags in the past where they're just learning how to use a screwdriver and putting together a little backpack tag that was cut out on the laser cutter. But we've also got activities that kids can engage in where they're working with the robots and the 3D printers and the laser cutters, where we're talking about middle school on up. But we've got adults that come out to this activity just because they realize that hands-on fun is for everybody.
I would love a laser cutter.
Well, yeah.
You guys got any used ones for sale or anything like that? Or well, we might. Don't use anymore? Let me know.
Those 3D printers are where it's at, isn't it?
Yeah. We've got Todd Luthane from COEX who comes in to help us with the 3D printing for this event. What we do is we set up a bunch of 3D printers and have stuff running so that the kids can see how the 3D printers work. But Todd's company makes the filament that makes that they use in the 3D printers.
You know, this is so awesome, but you right. know what's almost sad is that, you know, during World War II, when we needed the female workforce to roll up their sleeves and do manual labor, they answer the call like crazy, just fantastic, okay? And it's a shame almost that our society then turned again after you didn't need it. It's like, oh, no, you want to get into engineering? Oh, that's a boy's...
Yeah.
And now these young ladies are jumping into this like crazy and not looking back, correct?
And that's one of the most inspiring stories that I can tell about this event is that we had Ellie, who started as an intern with the Einstein Project. Her last internship was with NASA. Wow. So she's becoming a rocket scientist. And it's just amazing awesome. To see the number of students involved. Most of them that we've had working for us have been female engineering students, and that's just great to see.
Beautiful.
So you talk about your sponsors, and it does take sponsors, because this is a free event, right? Are you charged?
Absolutely, it's free event.
And I know Foth, which is great. I mean, they've always been a great company in Baytech. But who else is engaged? You don't give a shout-out to anybody? Because I know these things do cost money.
Absolutely. So some of our first ones that were on board with us were JBS and American Foods
Group.
Yeah,
those are great.
Those two organizations wanted to make sure that kids that were the kids of their employees had a place to go to do something engaging and hands-on. WPS has always been a sponsor yep. of us. They sponsored us at the Shopko Hall as well. We've got Thermatron, X Incorporated. We've got American Foods Group, Sanimax, Pep's Pizza, Tweet Garrett.
Really? Those are great companies, aren't they? Those are all places that will hire these students when the time is right.
And that's the part of the story about the Einstein Project. We were actually started by companies in the greater Green Bay area that recognized that they weren't hiring any local kids. They wanted to figure out how can we get more kids interested in sciences and engineering. And so they invested in the elementary school science to try to get kids interested and excited about learning science. So that way, by the time they got to the spot where they'd be hiring them, there were local kids who were interested in those positions.
You know, and you're making it fun. You know, and like Johnny and I were talking about this morning, today is, you probably know this because you're the engineer, but today is Bunsen burner day, which was the highlight of our science class.
Absolutely. It was the coolest thing.
And you got to use the little spark thing to light it
yeah,
up.
Yeah, well, I couldn't do that, but my teacher had to. But it just has come so far. You know, hands-on learning, and it's, well, you know this, but you know, you retain it more. You know, it's just a lot more fun than sitting listening to a nun preach from a textbook.
Yeah. The kids have to have the curiosity and the engagement on their own. And that's something that they have to build intrinsically. But we as the educators can create the environment that makes that happen. When we ask kids to sit in rows and just copy down stuff from the chalkboard in your day. And so now we're asking kids to sit in groups and talk about things and try to solve problems and create solutions to the different things that they're interested in themselves. We use phenomena to center our learning in the classroom, but that doesn't change when you get into an experience like at the expo. We have demonstrations where kids have to figure out what's going on, and it's up to the facilitators, the companies and the organizations that are presenting it, to get the kids engaged and get them interested in doing something.
Well, you know, it's never too early to make a, you know, get noticed either for some of these kids with some of these corporations that are coming around. I've got my cousin Eugene in Detroit, and he taught in high school for auto repair, okay? But in Michigan, this was a really big thing around the Detroit area where it was a competitive sponsored thing, where one of the things you would do is go to these big tournaments or whatever you want to call it, and you'd be assigned. It's like they'd pull the, you know, the tarp off. This is your car. Won't start. And you'd have to diagnosis and the whole thing. And it was amazingly competitive. And he said those kids, because GM and Buick and those would have people that were involved with this, and they would say, hey, there's some young talent with some of these people. And that would lead to six-figure careers after that. So it's never too early to get noticed is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
I was when I was interviewing your partner on Sunday, the other thing that that these kids are learning is this teamwork. And we've lost a little bit of that. And I can tell you that not just in engineering, but like Johnny's talking about fixing a car. I mean, his nephew knows a lot, right, but you don't know everything. And medical school, I tell you, can be a great student and a great potential doctor, but if you can't work with a team, they may take someone who's just maybe 1 point lower on the MCAT score because you're a team player, and you teach that at a pretty young age.
Right. Those are the things that aren't really built into most school curriculum. Is those types of skills that you need to be able to look at a problem and look at what other people already know and bring in their ideas. So collaborating to come up with solutions is much more powerful than everybody competing to try to have the best solution on their own.
What kind of schools do they go to after this, a lot of these kids?
Well,
there's some good engineering programs right around here now.
Absolutely. So that's the one thing about working with UWGB. So this partnership that we've created out at the STEM Innovation Center involves the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay. They've got the Richard J. Resch School of Engineering right there. So kids can earn a four-year engineering degree right here in Green Bay. They've got electrical engineering and mechanical engineering currently. They've also got some engineering tech programs as well. So kids can get that world-class education right here in Green Bay.
It wasn't that long ago I'd have to go to the Michigan Techs of the world in places like that.
Yeah, right? Or down to Milwaukee, to MSOE.
That's right.
Yeah. But those are still two great schools.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Michigan Tech is, but it's nice that we have that to offer right here.
Right. Kids can grow up in Green Bay, get a world-class education right here in Green Bay, and then get hired right here.
Okay, we got to say it, though, because that's the number one thing Jim always stresses, though, the brain drain of great young talent here. How do you keep them here?
Yeah, well, you know, Northeast Wisconsin is a great place to live. You know, we've obviously got the Packers. We've got everything else about living in northern Wisconsin. You've got the great outdoors. You've got the lake. You've got the bay. And so creating high-quality jobs that people want to stay in town for, and we're working on that. You know, we've got a whole bunch of organizations that are trying to provide those types of learning opportunities and those types of employment opportunities for our kids right here in Wisconsin.
And, you know, one other thing, I had a good friend in school. I won't say his name or anything like that, but as we used to say, dumber than a sack of hammers, okay? And but when it came to, you know, putting something together like that, like his dad would say, hey, you need to build me a new doghouse. It would be like, did you hire a carpenter? And how did you get those angles? So sometimes what I'm saying is You don't have to be the most book smart person in the world, but some people have some sort of innate talent for these sorts of things, don't right. they?
And that's where you do the hands-on learning and you bring out those skills. Because yeah. if it's all book smarts, you know, there is something to those who spend a whole lot of time hitting the books, studying the things. You know, those things are important. But when you start to do the hands-on, you bring out the skills and the talents in the kids, especially those who are sometimes are struggling learners.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think you talk about retaining that talent. You know, there's just an article. Our money goes pretty far here. You know, this is not the most expensive place to live. And you talk about the amenities. I just remember when we recruit in healthcare, which is a big part of our industry here. When you can be in the OR and then you can be fishing in 25 minutes, that's pretty cool.
Right, right.
No question about it. Give yourself a little plug one more time, Chad.
You bet. So the Einstein Project, along with the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay and Brown County, are hosting the STEM Family Day out at the STEM Innovation Center at UWGB from 10 o'clock until 2 o'clock on April 12th in a couple weeks.
All right, great.
Do people have to register or anything or
nope,
just show up?
No need to register. Just show up. We're hoping for good weather. Fantastic. But not too good, because then they'll want to be outside.
Right. All right.
This is great. Good stuff what you're doing there, Chad. I just think that so many kids, again, we all say about our dark ages when we grew up and everything like that, but these young kids have so many more opportunities right in front of them these days. And STEM is really one of those organizations that says, hey, kids, here we are. Come to us. We're going to make sure you're going to have a good time.
Absolutely.
Congratulations on what you're doing, Chad. Great, great thing. Set a quick break. Mind of the Mayor. Back to wrap it up after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mind of the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM, WSS, of course, the Civic Media app. Nancy says, I haven't laughed this hard since the city showed up to block off the road for Jim. Thank you, Nancy. Got this one from Sparky. Fun. Sorry to say this, John, but you, sir, are no Marlon Perkins. Sparky, hope you're doing well. Sparky recovering from some surgery and big advocate of him getting really healthy, so you can come and do some free work at my house.
There you go.
I mean, but you know what? Listen, I'm doing it for him.
Obviously.
Because there would be no pressure. It's not like he's on the job at somebody where they're going to be paying. And it'd be like, well, yeah, how come you're not done yet? How come you take his
no
time?
No pressure.
No pressure. Mm-hmm. Nice way to kind of get back into it. Almost like therapy. I'm looking at it like I'm providing therapy for him.
Yeah.
So it's what I do. It's what I do for my friends.
There you go. So, this was fun today.
Great
fun
today.
We had a lot of nonprofits, but that's what makes this community work, you know?
Starting with Brittany Merlot.
Right.
Talk about the crazy weather they're having in her part of the world with the trees snapping. And was it 64,000? Was that right, Todd? 64,000
like
people
that.
Without
yeah.
power?
60,000 plus.
60, wow. Yeah, that's isn't that how big Wausau is? Something like
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Madeline Van Grohl, UW Green Bay, Giving Day. That's a very big thing that's coming up. And there's a person who, you know, went to Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin,
right.
came back to live in Green Bay for the quality of living around here. That's awesome.
But you can jump on their website now, right? You know, just go to the yep. UWGB. Giving Day, you know, and make a donation. I mean, what she rattled off like 12 things that money can go to. So, and that's such a great institution. So
no question.
She's
Kristen
great.
Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation. Man, we just started getting her wound up when we ran out of time.
Make sure you check out her web or her podcast. It's called Always On Point with Kristen Ambos.
Yeah. Jeez, man. And next we're going to talk.
She can save you some money.
Yeah, no question about it. Or she'll, you know what? She'll wear herself out trying.
Yeah.
You know, it won't be like, oh, well, she will grind.
Yep.
Christine, I was mispronouncing her name.
Schutze.
Schutze. New NEW Zoological Society and Drew Deinhart, curator of animals, and they're looking to get some new penguin habitat.
Yes.
Which would be very cool.
They got the penguins.
Yes.
But they need them where we can see them more. I don't know what they're going to do. She goes, you know, news in the future on that, but they're raising money to get some.
I may have read this wrong. I may have read the room wrong. Not sure Drew was exceptionally impressed with my knowledge on mating of wild animals.
Yeah, I'm not sure that anybody here was.
Well, it's definitely not him. And he kind of has been at it for, what, 20, 25 years, and he was not taking notes.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, if he was, it was not about your knowledge.
Right.
I rely
maybe that's
on a vast knowledge of what I'm like a sponge.
Yeah,
you know that with things. It's... And what I've just sucked in.
Now,
over
there's
the years.
A question.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Do sponges mate?
No.
I would say you could be right on that.
They do the whole amoeba thing.
Yep.
Which spores.
Whole what?
The amoeba where they break apart. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That you could be right on.
Which one of us?
Yes, sponges reproduce both sexually and asexually.
Yeah.
Good luck trying to find one that will want to mate with you sexually.
Right. When they can do it alone.
Exactly.
Right. Whenever they want.
I'm just saying. Right. I've learned these things, people.
But we. So.
And I've learned these things for you, so I can bestow this knowledge upon you.
Yes. But we got to get that.
What I do.
Larry the Lion. We got to get him a mate, right? Or what is Lenny? What's his name?
Larry.
Is it Larry?
I think so. Larry the Lion.
Sit back, smoke, and watch TV. Watching porn. Wow.
No, he doesn't have a mate, and they got to find somebody. He's got to feed it. He's
got to
fill up the form.
I was thinking Netflix or something.
Okay,
Josh. Jeez
Louise. Well, right. They say Well, we got to work on it.
Wow, Todd. I don't know where his mind is today. Gotta be honest with you.
No.
Well, hey, a reminder, Brewers home opener today, correcto?
That's correct.
And I'm still calling it County Stadium, Miller Park, whatever the name of it is. Was it
AmFam Field.
AmFam Field, 1235 WISS. We'll have that for you.
That is a good time, though. That field, that stadium is in great condition.
Opening day is a lot of fun, no matter what. I mean, you know, the home opener, the wherever. Man, like I said, I go back to 1985, 84, 85 would have been my first home opener. I remember Jim Sundberg was the manager, and it was still the Robin Yauts and the Paul Molitors and everything, and it was like 31 degrees, and everybody had the big ski caps on and the whole thing and towels around their necks. But you know what? It was still fun. It was still opening day.
Yeah. But, boy, they've had some nice opening days, too. And are tickets still reasonable?
Semi, what's reasonable? You know,
15, 20 bucks.
I don't know about that.
No,
probably a little bit more than that.
Yeah, I don't know what would be the lowest price brewer ticket these days. Somebody help us out on that. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a good question.
Yeah, that's fun. I think brewers,
because you know,
I have to go down. We'll go down for at least what a couple games, right?
I was reading a thing from about Mark Cuban, former owner of the Dallas Mavs, and he actually would do some promotions. It would be like $2 tickets for certain sections and everything like that. And kept his price, I want to say like his highest.
You can get tickets for about 10 bucks.
At a Brewer game?
For the Terrace Infield. Yep. And then they go all the way up to.
What are the most expensive on the first baseline or something?
I saw a thing where front row Amy wasn't going to be at a game and she was selling her ticket. And I'm surprised she still does that, because you know what has happened at times? Some guy will show up in a big wig and fake boobage and whatever, and sit there in front row Amy's seat.
What?
You don't know front row Amy? You don't know the history of front row Amy?
I don't think I do.
Oh, she is. Can you put up a picture real quick, Todd?
I'll see if I can find
one. She's this attractive lady that sits right behind home plate. So every time you're showing the batter, she's on TV.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, she's got her own cult following. Like, you can't believe. Front row Amy. Oh, yeah. It's a big thing. You don't know about that?
No? There's that guy, that weird guy that runs on the first baseline. He runs weird. You know what I'm talking about?
The sausages?
No. He's like a bat boy.
Yep. Nope. Okay.
this went to hell real fast.
I know.
Welcome to our Monday.
I know.
Folks.
Wow.
We're out of time.
Thank God.
We might be back tomorrow morning. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.